Well, good afternoon, everyone. I have the pleasure today to visit with the conductor of the Bay Area Concert Band, Steve Simpkins. Steve will be telling us a little bit about what he's got planned for the opening concert of the OCMA Outdoors Festival that begins July 17th at Mingus Park here in Coos Bay. So Steve, please give us a little bit of the history about your group and what you're planning to do for this great outdoor event. And maybe give us some updates on your group emerging after a very dark year.
The band in its present form was organized in 1976 by Bob Gillette, who was the band director at Marshfield High School at the time. He wanted to put on a program of patriotic music in the park, at Mingus Park, in honor of the bicentennial on the 4th of July. And he did so, and the people who played in the band liked it so much they decided they wanted to go on with it, and here we are today. Now, there's a bit more to the story than that. Most of the members just about all of the members that Bob Gillette recruited had actually been members of the Coos Bay Concert Band. Now, that band had been organized in 1938. And they continued on until 1974 when they disbanded and then donated all of their equipment and resources to Southwestern Oregon Community College, hoping that they could contribute to an instrumental music program at Southwestern Oregon Community College. So I believe that's 36 years, if I've done the math correctly, plus another 45 years. So I believe, if I've done that correctly, our concert band has existed for about 82 years. All right, so on July 17th, we open the Oregon Coast Music Festival with a concert in Mingus Park at 12 noon. Anyway, I think we have a good program coming for you. Yes, it has been a trying time in the last year and 2 months with no rehearsals. Some of us are a bit rusty, and we only have about 6 rehearsals before we play the concert in the park. So I'm playing a few numbers that are a little less challenging, a little shorter than our usual, but it still should be a very good concert. So I'm going to consult my cheat sheet here. Probably the most exciting thing we're going to do is we have kind of a face-off between the two most popular film composers today. First, John Williams, a suite from The Cowboys, and the German composer Hans Zimmer. And we'll be doing a suite of his music from The Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. And the audience is free to decide which composer they like the best. You can come to any conclusion you want as long as it's John Williams. All right. In addition, we're going to play a piece by Hugh Stewart called Three Airs from Gloucester, which I find reminiscent of the great British band classics, which I love so much. So you can look forward to that. Then we have a contemporary piece written by the Czech-American composer Václav Nelibel, and that's his real name. And it's called Suite for Bohemia, and it is a modal composition with a contemporary sound, written in the 70s. All right, then we have two swing numbers. The first that I'll talk about is Sophisticated Ladies. It's a suite from the Broadway show based on the music of Duke Ellington. And this number will feature our wonderful local trumpet player, Wilbur Jensen, doing a couple of jazz solos. In addition, we have the Gershwin tune, But Not For Me, and featuring our local professional singer, Seamus Hamlin, who will be doing a program directly after our program. All right. And that's pretty much it. We have one other, oh yes, we do have another concert band piece called Black as the Color, an arrangement of the, dramatic arrangement of the old British folk song, Black as the Color of My True Love's Hair. And finally, there is, at the end of the concert, will be the obligatory Sousa March, Hands Across the Sea. So be there July 17th, 12 o'clock at the Mingus Park Amphitheater.
I'm so happy and grateful to be performing for the Oregon Coast Music Festival, especially, like you said, being from the Bay Area. I've grown up hearing about it for many, many years, and even being able to go out to concerts. So it's just so thrilling to finally have our own opportunity to get to do that. And I just really appreciate that right off the bat. And I guess growing up here, we're very fortunate to have a lot of music in our community, and I've been able to be a part of it in many different ways, but not like this yet. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And I really got started in the Great American Songbook from a very young age, not knowing at least that I would one day become a singer until I was about 13. But my mom and my grandparents were heavily influential to start about the Great American Songbook and different performers like Frank Sinatra and Doris Day, Ella Fitzgerald, and then on to the songwriters and like the Gershwins and Cole Porter and all the wonderful American songwriters that we have. So I was really fortunate to grow up with that. And that's kind of what got me started. And then in my eighth grade year, I was performing in a singing competition at school. I somehow got convinced to do that. And I performed a Sinatra tune at the time. It's called I've Got the World on a String. And I did that. And that was really the start of it all. I remember going home that night and telling my grandma on the drive home that this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And I guess 7 years later, here we are now. So this is just really, really exciting. And, you know, coming out of the pandemic as well, this is one of the biggest shows that I've had so far this year. And this is just so, so exciting, especially to be right here at home. And I've had so many wonderful mentors as well coming up in the business. If you know Jim Ring, who is a wonderful man, out of our town here on the Oregon coast. I met him and many other mentors through the Oregon Coast Lab Band program when I was about 14 or 15. I joined that and was fortunate enough to go perform at some wonderful jazz festivals along the West Coast. There used to be one in Medford called the Southern Oregon Music Festival, and we performed at that. And of course, Clambake and Hot Jazz Jubilee, Fresno. And so we got to go and travel and perform, and that was just like the biggest thing for me. So, so exciting to get to travel and perform and just do what I love so much. And I really did my best to keep myself busy throughout all this time ever since I wanted to be a performer. And so this is just really full circle to have one of the biggest festivals in our area have us, and the quartet especially has been a dream come true to have my own quartet. And we just came out with our first album. So it's just an exciting time. I actually, funny enough, just got my second COVID vaccine today, so I'm feeling good as of right now, but I'm just so, so grateful that we're starting to move in a great direction, and we have been for the past few months with vaccines and getting things open. And really, I saw a post recently that said vaccines are the gateway to concerts, and I think that is such a well-stated phrase, because I really think that's true. And so this is just very, very exciting. And well, I've been working on many things in the works, especially this has been one of the performances that has been something very exciting to plan for. And another one is coming up in October. We're going to be performing at the Sun Valley Jazz and Music Festival. So this is going to be the first time with the quartet, and it will be my second time there. And I just really can't wait to be back in Sun Valley. It's one of my favorite festivals I've been to thus far. And I was very, very welcomed the last time I was there, and would have been there last year as well. But of course, coronavirus took that away from us as well. And so we've got that on the books, and really just looking for a lot more things to come. Hopefully up in Portland, we're going to be able to play in some jazz clubs and events around Portland. But really the main goal is to continue to tour and hopefully book as many festivals as we can in the future, and just share the Great American Songbook and the way that I like to present it in as many places as possible. So not a whole lot yet, but we're moving in a great direction.
Like the proverbial phoenix rising from the ashes, the Oregon Coast Music Festival is back this summer. Not quite in the way that you think of us. We're not going to be having any orchestral performances quite yet. We are going to be having a series of really delectable chamber music concerts, primarily fronted by members of our wonderful festival orchestra. And we have every reason to believe that next summer we're going to be back in the way that you know us best, with two big orchestra concerts flanking one pops concert in between. Whenever I talk about the festival, I always feel like a bit of a newbie, because I guess I'm going now into my sixth summer as a member of this illustrious group. Our music director, James Paul, has been in that position since 1991 and really established from the get-go, which I've gleaned from looking at the records, that this was a festival that honored tradition and always would push the boundaries of what we regard as traditional music making, because James has an inexhaustible appetite for orchestral music of all kinds. And so alongside of the most traditional music you can imagine, he's presented, even in the years that I've been here, such things as the Variaciones Concertantes of Gina Stera, the Tenderland Suite by Copland, not a piece of his that you encounter very often, Jubilee by Chadwick, and a world premiere a couple of summers ago, World on Fire by Jake Runestat. So you always get the very, very best of symphonic literature at these festivals. The things that you know and love and can sing along with, not too loud, and the things that you probably would never encounter anywhere else unless Maestro Paul were to program them. This summer, of necessity, we are going to be presenting four chamber concerts that are going to be very much in that mold, in that every one of them is going to include pieces that you know very well and is going to have a few things that might actually surprise you, that kind of combine the best of a classical and a pops concert, in that the genres are going to be many and varied. For example, we're going to have a group called the Carlos Ensemble, never guess after whom it's named, which is going to be about the most variegated concert you can imagine. There is going to be classical music. There's going to be rock music, represented by music by the Beatles and Journey. There's going to be folk music. There are going to be a couple of original compositions by the group's cellist. And there's even going to be, I believe, a little chatter from the stage showing some of the ways that a rock song is constructed. So all of you who are curious about such things and want to hear a ostensibly classical group letting its long hair down and presenting some very different fare, this is a must for you. Another group from which you're going to hear this summer is a quartet of violas, one of the unsung heroes of the orchestra, an instrument that you just don't get to hear enough on its own. The timbre, the sound is so incredible and unique and beautiful. And now you have a chance to hear four of them by themselves with no other instruments getting in the way. The group is headed up by Shelley Mathewson, our principal violist. And in addition to some very, very classical fare, I happen to know one of the pieces that they're going to do because they very graciously asked me to arrange it for them. They're going to be doing an arrangement of Summertime from George Gershwin's opera Porgy and Bess. So a little folk slash jazz inflected music in the course of a very, very classical concert. The Pioneer Trombones, an ensemble of four trombonists who are going to probably present the least classical of our chamber concerts, in that most of the repertoire is going to be an exploration of such diverse dances as the samba and the tango. And we're also going to have American root music in the form of ragtime. So this is really going to be the one where you can go and sort of put your love of classical music on hold for a while, just for a while, no more than that, and enjoy some very relaxed fare in the most beautiful atmosphere possible. The other ensemble I want to tell you about that you must come and hear at the end of July is the Rose Canyon Harmony Ensemble. This is a group that on the surface of it is a wind quintet, but according to Tom Schubert, the group's leader, this is a wind quintet that is still considered unique in the classical music world. Usually we think of a wind quintet as flute, oboe, clarinet, bassoon, horn, but this is a wind quintet made up entirely of wind instruments that use reeds: oboe, clarinet, bass clarinet, bassoon, and saxophone. You get a chance to hear the saxophone playing a little bit of classical music. They're going to be doing a concert that's a mixture of different transcriptions. They're going to be playing some Mozart, some Bach, three movements from the Ravel Le Tombeau de Couperin, which was originally for piano and later arranged for orchestra by Ravel himself. So this is yet a third way to hear this lovely French masterpiece. So the final kicker is that this group and all the other three groups about which we've been speaking are all going to be playing in this outdoor setting where you have this lovely, idyllic view of the bay in the distance. So all of these concerts, irresistible. Please join us. And please join us in a prayer, in a crossed fingers, for the return to next year's festival with orchestra concerts. James Paul has already planned his two concerts, which are going to include such staples as the Gazzaladra Overture of Rossini and a suite from the opera Carmen by Bizet, and also a piece that I was thrilled to hear that he's doing, the Sixth Symphony by Sibelius, which is the of all the seven Sibelius symphonies, this is the one that is so rarely programmed. The beginning of that symphony is so incredibly beautiful, you will be dumbfounded as to its obscurity. As to the pops for next year, I've planned a very festive evening, which I call Bump in the Night, which is going to be primarily a look at music from horror movies and science fiction films. We're going to have musical visits from Frankenstein's Monster, Count Dracula, The Creature from the Black Lagoon, and a host of other saintly luminaries. Please join us this summer, next, and for all the summers beyond.